Today we're doing Masechet Chagiga, Daf Yud Gimel. We left off about 9 lines from the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We're still discussing very Kabbalistic concepts of angels and firmaments, and today we'll be discussing, continuing with that discussion, with a statement Nebuchadnezzar made that related to the heavens, followed by a discussion of the Maaseh Merkava, which is a very vague description of something very private to God that comes up as Hefer Yecheskel, and we'll analyze that a bit, and then we'll go back into a discussion of the celestial beings. So, says the Gemara, Tanya Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Matshuva Hashivasu Baskel Lo'oso Rasha. What did the heavenly voice respond to that Rasha, which Rashi says refers to Nebuchadnezzar, B'shasha Amar, when Nebuchadnezzar said, Ela Albamasi Av Edma Le'elyon. Essentially, he wanted to ascend above the heights of the clouds, and he'll be like God himself. So that was Nebuchadnezzar's claim. So Yasta Basko Vyamro Lo, Rasha ben Rasha ben Benosho Nimrod HaRasha. Wicked one, the son of a wicked one, the grandson of Nimrod. Tosfos on the top points out that he was not actually the grandson of Nimrod, but it refers to when someone acts like a certain person, then we attribute their lineage to them. So he acted like Nimrod in the sense that he was rebelling. Shehimrid as kol olam kulo alav, that he caused the entire world to rebel against himself, which Rashi says doesn't really mean himself, it means God, but it's a nice way of saying rebelling against God without saying it in explicit terms. That he rebelled against God's kingship. Kama shnoso shel adam shivim shana. So the heavenly voice says to Nebuchadnezzar, how much is a person's life? How long does a person typically live for? 70 years? Shenemar yimei shenoseinu bahem shivim shana. A person's life is 70 years. V'mikvuros, and if you're particularly strong, shmonim shana, 80 years. V'alo min ha'aretz ad l'rakia mahalei chamesh meo shana. If you were to try to ascend from the earth to the heaven, to the firmament, that would take you 500 years. So your lifetime at best is 80 years. It would take you 500 years to get up to the Rakia. The ovav shel Rakia mahalech chamesh meo shana. The thickness to penetrate the Rakia itself would take you another 500 years. V'chein bin kol Rakia v'Rakia l'mala mehen. And we know, we said in yesterday's or last week's daf, that there are 7 or possibly 8 firmaments. So to pass through each of those would be another 500 years. And then above that would be the Chayos HaKodesh. This is where the celestial beings hang out, where they reside. And then the Ragli Chayos is Keneged Kulam. That the legs of the Chayos, it would take just as much time to penetrate those as it would to get all the way up until that point from the earth. And then Karsuli Chayos, the ankles of the Chayos, Keneged Kulam, would take more time than everything preceding it. Shokei HaChayos Keneged Kulon, the thighs of these chayos, it would take more time than everything preceding it. Rechuvei HaChayos Keneged Kulon, the knees of the chayos, it would take longer to penetrate that than everything preceding it. Yarchei HaChayos Keneged Kulon, the thighs of the chayos, the gufei HaChayos Keneged Kulon, the bodies, Tzavarei HaChayos Keneged Kulon, the necks of these chayos would take longer to penetrate than everything preceding it. Roshei HaChayos Keneged Kulon, the heads, Karnei HaChayos Keneged Kulam, the horns, L'mala Mehen Kisei HaKavod, and then above the Chayos, once you've went past that, which has taken you thousands and thousands of years, then you reach the Kisei HaKavod. But you're not done yet. The Ragli Kisei HaKavod Keneged Kulam, just the legs of the Kisei HaKavod, it would take you so long to transgress that. Kisei HaKavod Keneged Kulam, the chair itself. And then above the chair is Melech El Chayav Kayim Rav and Isa Shochan Aleihem. God sits on top of that. So Nebuchadnezzar, you think you're going to try to ascend to God? V'ata Amarta Ela Umasi Av Edmel Elyon. You really think this is possible? It's not even close to possible. Ach El Shaul Torid El Yarkasei Bor. Right, your destination is really to be in a pit. You will not be ascending. If anything, you will be descending. That will be your plight. Okay, continuing from comment we have on the Mishnah, on Daf Yad Amud Beis, where we said that we have Maaseh Merkava. We have an account of some type of description of heavenly beings, heavenly spheres, the heavenly chariot that comes up in Sefer Yecheskel in the first and second Prakim. So we said in the Mishnah that if a person is well-versed, if a Talmud Chacham is well-versed in the Maisei Merkava, he may not teach the Maisei Merkava even to a Yachid, even to an individual. So says the Gemara here, Tani Reb Chiya, Aval Mosrin Lo Rashi Prakim, but you can teach him just the chapter headings. Just say, okay, Perek 1 is about this, but just without going into any significant detail, because apparently the detail is what we're concerned about giving over to the masses. Amar Reb Zeira, in Mosrin Rashi Prakim, you can't even give over the chapter headings, Ela La'av Beis Din, except to the head of a Beis Din, Ulcho Misha Libo Doeg Bekirbo, or someone whose heart is worried in him, which Rashi says means that he's inomikulas rosho. He takes things very seriously. Ikadamri, some say, vihu shalibudog kirbo. You have to be both an av beastin, and that av beastin also has to take things very seriously. Only then can you even pass on to him the chapter headings of the Maisei Merkava. Amr of Ami, in Mosrin Sisrei Torah, Elimishesh lo Chamisha Dvarim. You can't pass on the secrets of Torah except to someone who possesses five qualities. Now these five qualities, the Gemara and Daf Yedalid will go into further detail on, but essentially they are Sar Chamishim, the captain of 50, which either refers to someone who knows all five books of the Torah, maybe he's reached the age of 50, V'nasu Panim, someone who's honorable, someone who people essentially like. Number three, the Yoatz, a counselor. Someone maybe perhaps who's an expert. We'll see on Daf Yadal what he's an expert in. The Chacham Charashim means someone who's skillful. So it could be that someone who causes others to gain new insights. We'll see what that means. And finally, the Navon Lachash, and someone who gives over information in an eloquent way. It could be someone who understands things based on intuition. And all these people, if you have all these qualities, then you can be taught the Sisrei Torah, the secrets of Torah. The Amar Rav Ami, in Mosrin Divrei Torah, Lo'ove Kochavim, you can't give over Torah to a guy, Shenamar, because we say in the Pasuk, Magid Devar of Yaakov, Chukov Shal Yisrael, right? That the Devar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words are only given over to Yaakov, to Yisrael, to Jews. But we say here, Lo Asachin L'chol Goy. You can't give this over to a non-Jew. Mishpatim bal yidaum. Right? These are only for us. So this is one of the sources of the Isser of teaching Torah to a non-Jew. So Tosfos over here notes that there's a Gemara Sanhedrin which tells us that a guy is chayev misa for learning Torah. So if that's the case, if a guy is chayev misa for learning Torah, then if I, a Jew, teach him Torah, wouldn't I violate Lifnei Iver? Because if it's usher for him to learn it, by teaching it to him, I'm providing him the Isser. So Tosfos is wondering, why do I need this pasuk over here of Magid Rav Yaakov, it's only for us? But anyway, there's an Isser to teach Torah to a non-Jew, because it would be violating Lifnei Iver, since if he learns Torah, he's Chayev Misa. So by me providing it to him, I should be Chayev Lifnei Iver. So Tosfos answers that we're talking about a situation where there are other non-Jews that are willing to teach this non-Jew Torah. And therefore, where there's a general rule when it comes to Lifnei Iver, that it's only an Isser of Lifnei Iver if he can only get the Isser through me. For the example the Gemara gives is there are two sides of a river, a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, and I'm the only one with a cup of wine to provide him a cup of wine. So if I give him that wine, I violate Lifnei Iver. So over here, though, there are plenty of other, you can look up on the internet, there are plenty of other ways to learn the Torah, and therefore, for me to teach it to him, it wouldn't be Lifnei Iver, since he can get it in another way, yet our Gemara is telling me there's a separate pasuk that tells me that I still am not able to teach it to him, because this is Magid Devar of Yaakov, this is only for us, it's not for God. There's a very, obviously a very important halachic topic that's very applicable even nowadays in terms of how much can I reveal to a coworker when he asks me to tell him something about Judaism, what if you're teaching the Torah class and there are Jews and non-Jews in the room, but this is one of the two primary sources, both here and in Sanhedrin, of the source of the Isser of teaching Torah to a non-Jew. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, Ta'ad Mircha Masa Merkava. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Lazar, come, I'll teach you Masa Merkava. So Amar Le, so Rabbi Lazar says, Lo Kashai, I'm not old enough. Rashi points out, I don't have the doig libo bekirbi, or I'm not 50 years old. I'm not ready to learn Maisim Merkava. Kikash, when Reb Lezer finally became old enough, Nach Nafshei D'Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe who had offered to teach it to him, had died. Samalei Rav Asi, Tavag Merchel Maisim Merkava. So he offered a second time to Reb Lezer, come on, I'll teach you Maisim Merkava. So Amarlei, Reb Lezer was feeling very dejected, and he said, Izakai, if I really merited learning Maisim Merkava, Gemir Simir Rabbi Yochanan Ravcha, I would have learned it from Rabbi Yochanan, my Rebbe, your Rebbe, and from the fact that by the time I got old enough, he passed away. I take that as a simen, minashamayim, that it wasn't meant to be. I'm not meant to learn Maisim Merkava. Rav Yosef had been governed Maisim Merkava. Rav Yosef used to learn, he knew Maisim Merkava very well. Sabi to Medisa, Havatana Maisim Bereshis. And the elders of Medisa used to learn Maisim Bereshis, which we saw in the Mishnah on Daf Yedaf Levez, was also a type of secret to understand what's really going on there in the first several psukim there by Maisim Bereshis. So they wanted to make a deal. So Amr Lei, so the elders of Pumadisa said, Ligmor Laman Maisa Merkava, you Rav Yosef teaches Maisa Merkava, and Amr Lohu, and Rav Yosef said to them, Agmar Lee, Maisa Bereshis. So they made a nice little trade. I'll teach you Maisa Merkava, you teach me Maisa Bereshis. So Agmaran, so the Savit of Pumadisa, they taught Rav Yosef Maisa Bereshis. Basar to Agmaran, after that happened, Amr Lei, they said to Rav Yosef, Ligmrun Marva Maisim Merkava. Teach me Maisim Merkava. Teach us Maisim Merkava. Amar Luhu, Rav Yosef backed out of the deal. Tanilu Behu, because we have a brisa which says, Dvash V'chalav Tachlos L'Shonich. Honey and milk are under your tongue. So what does that mean? It's referring to Torah. Dvarim Shamesukim Midvash V'chalav. Something that's even sweeter than honey and milk, which refers to something that's even perhaps secretive, like the Maisim Merkava. That should be tachas l'shonech. That's under your tongue, meaning that's something that we don't speak about. Ravel arimahacha kivasim lil vushacha, that the wool of lambs of sheep are used for your clothing. But what we learn from that is the following: al tikre kivasim el kivushim. Don't read it sheep. Read it hidden. Tvarim shein kivshono shel olam. You tachas lebushik, something that's the secrets of the world, otherwise known as Maisa Merkava, should be tachas lebushik. Put that under your clothing, that shouldn't be revealed to the world. So Rav Yosef backed out, saying even Maisa Merkava is too secretive to reveal. Now, interesting that we compare the Torah to milk and honey, which, by the way, is why we have a minhag on Shavuos to eat honey and to have milk, dairy foods, because Shavuos is the day of Matan Torah. So Ritzvi Hirsch Frommer from London, he notes that dvash and chalav also represent two aspects of Torah learning. We know dvash, honey, is a likut. The bees gather the pollen from the flowers, and that's what ultimately makes honey. So honey is created by gathering, whereas milk, we know, is from the cow itself. So the cow makes the milk, and that's how we get it. So the milk's from within. So Rav Frommer says, similarly, when it comes to limud haTorah, there needs to be two aspects of Torah. One is we all need to be in a certain way of malaki. We gather from others, we look to others, we combine, we look in svarim, I heard that far from him, and we pool our Torah learning, and in that way it's completely enriched. But, says Rav Frommer, there's a second aspect, and that's to be mechadish. Milk is from the cow itself. So each one of us possess within ourselves the ability to mechadesh Torah. It's not only that we gather from others, it's incumbent upon us to generate new, insightful Torah ideas. And we shouldn't feel like we're not worthy of that. Each of us are worthy of the mechadesh Torah ideas. And that's why, says Rav Frommer, the Torah is compared both to honey, because we're meant to gather from others, but also milk, because it's meant that we're supposed to generate our own chidushim as well. So, Amri Lahu, Taninan Buhu, Ad Vayomer Eli Ben Adam. So, the elders of Pumdisa said to Rav Yosef, just for clarification purposes, we already have studied, in the context of the Maisa Merkava, already the entire first parak of Yecheskel. That pasuk they just quoted is the first pasuk of the second parak. So, Amr Lahu, so Rav Yosef said to them, Hein, hein, Maisa HaMerkava. So then, my backing out of the trade didn't really affect anything, because you were asking me to teach you from the second parak of Yecheskel and on, but the first parak is pretty much all you need to know for Ma'aseh Merkava purposes, and since you've already studied that, you've pretty much got what you needed to know. So Meisvei, is that really the Ma'aseh Merkava is only the first parak of Yecheskel? We have a kasha on that, because says the Braisa, Ad Heichan Ma'aseh Merkava, until when in Sefer Yecheskel is the Ma'aseh Merkava being described? So Rebbe Omer, Ad, until the pasuk which says Va'era Kein Chashmal Basra, which is Perek Aleph Pasuk Chav Zayin in Sefer Yecheskel, which is not up until the second Perek yet. Ritzak Omar Ad HaChashmal, until the word Chashmal, which is even the fourth pasuk in the first parak. So either way, it's either until the fourth pasuk of the first parak or the 27th pasuk, but it's not until the second parak itself. So says the Gemara, there's two stages here. Ad ve'era, until either pasuk 4 or pasuk 27, migmarinan, that you can teach. That is not really the full description of the Ma'aseh Merkava yet. Mikan ve'ilech, from then on, Masrin and Rashi Prakim. We could only give out the chapter headings. That's much more intense, and that cannot be taught to a layman. Ikeda Amri, Ad Ve'era, until Pasuk 4, Pasuk 27 in the first Parak, Masrin and Rashi Prakim. Until there, we can only give the chapter headings. Mikan Ve'ilech, from then on, Imuchacham Umevi Midaito in, only someone who already pretty much knows it, so when you reference things to him, he pretty much gets it by himself, in, then you could teach it. Elo, but if someone's not up to that level, lo, he can't be taught anything, apparently, even chapter headings. Says the Gemara, Umidar Shinim Bechashmal? Can we really expound the phrase Chashmal, which literally means some type of fire in the Ma'aseh Merkava, which it seems very clear from either Pasuk 4 or Pasuk 27 that we're teaching, even if whether it be chapter headings, we're saying the word Chashmal in the context of Ma'aseh Merkava. There was a certain child, the Darsh Bechashmal, he was expounding the word Chashmal in Ma'aseh Merkava and Sefer Yecheskel, and all of a sudden, Venafka Nura Vachalse, and a fire, much like a Chashmal, came from Shemayim and consumed him. He was burned. So clearly, we shouldn't be doing this. So says the Gemara, Shani Yenuka Delav Mate Zvane. That's not a proof. It could be the kid was too young. It's like learning Kabbalah. You have to be a certain age. You have to have a certain type of heart, a certain level of seriousness. And this child clearly wasn't there yet. But it could be that if a person reaches a certain level and a certain age, maybe he could learn Chashmal and nothing bad would happen. Amr of Yehuda, Barim Zacharos Oish Latov, V'Chananya Ben Chizki Shemo. There was a certain man who should be blessed for good, whose name was Chananya Ben Chizkiya. Why? Why was he so good? Because Il Molehu, if not for him, Nignaz Sefer Yecheskel. Sefer Yecheskel, which is what where Ma'aseh Merkava is contained, would have been hidden away from all of us. Why? What happened? Sheyudvarav Sosher and Divrei Torah. Because there are many psukim in Sefer Yecheskel, which on the surface look like or seem like they contradict the Torah itself. We know obviously that's not true, but it looks like that on the surface. So Ma'asu, so what did Chananya ben Chizkiya do? Halulo, Shloshim Meos Garbi Shemen. He took 300 barrels of oil, the Yashiv Ba'aliyah, went up to an attic, the Darshu, and he expounded, he found ways to resolve all the seeming contradictions, and put out a sefer pretty much, and that way, to the Hamonam, to the layman, they would be able to understand how Sefer Yecheskel does not, in fact, contradict the Torah itself. A certain child was reading in his Rebbe's house, Sefer Yecheskel. They have Maven Bechashmal, he was learning Chashmal, or he was trying to understand Chashmal in Sefer Yecheskel, in the Ma'aseh Merkava, all of a sudden, Yotze Ishmei Chashmal, Visar Faso, and a Chashmal, a fire came down and burned him. And based on that, Ubikshu Ligno Sefer Yecheskel. The Chachamim wanted to store away Sefer Yecheskel, saying that, look, it's a dangerous Sefer. If it gets in the wrong hands, it could lead to disastrous results. However, Amalem Chananya Ben Chizkiya, Imze Chacham, Hakol Chachamim, just because one precocious child decided he's going to take a stab at deriving something from the Ma'aseh Merkava and the Chashmal, is everyone Chachamim? Meaning, this is very rare circumstance. This isn't going to happen to everyone. And therefore, he convinced the Chachamim not to store away Sefer Yecheskel. So says the Gemara, by the way, my Chashmal, why is this description of Hashem's chariot referred to as Chashmal? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, turning over to Yigimel Mavis. It's a contraction of chayos ish mimalos. The chayos, which are certain celestial beings that dwell near HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shemayim, ish mimalos, that fire comes from their words. That when these angels, so to speak, open their mouths, they're like fire-breathing angels. Masisa Tana, some say it's referring to this. Itim chashos, itim mimalos. Sometimes these angels, these chayos, are quiet, and sometimes they speak. When do they speak and when are they quiet? Bishasha dibur yosim pikadosh baruch hu. When Hashem is speaking, chashos, then they're quiet. Ubishasha ina dibur yosim pikadosh baruch hu, mimalos. But when Hashem is not speaking, then they are permitted to speak. Vachayos, once we talk about chayos, we're going to mention other characteristics of chayos. Vachayos rotzu v'shuv kamari habazak. That the chayos, they go back and forth like mari habazak. Like something like a craftsman's pots. So my rotzu v'shuv, what does it mean to go back and forth? Rabbi Huda, ka'or hayotzem v'pi ha'kivshon. Like a fire that's going back and forth in an oven, that when you burn certain things in an oven, it creates sparks that constantly go back and forth. That's very interesting, because the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tzadi Hei, says that when one is about to say Shemona Esrei, he should walk forward 3 steps as a way of stepping towards Hashem. So the question is, we generally typically take 3 steps back and then take 3 steps forward. Do I need to take 3 steps back? So we do it a lot of times practically because we're standing right by a shtender. So in order to take 3 steps forward, but let's say there's clear floor in front of you. Is there any inyan to take 3 steps back? So Eli Rabba says, there's no need. It's only really the only need is to take the 3 steps forward. However, the Magen Giborim says, our minug is we always take 3 steps back also. The Mishnah Berurah passed like this. So what's the pshat over here? So the Kaf HaChaim says, we first move backwards and then forwards as a way of showing a certain level of pachad, of fear, of awe before approaching Hashem, based on, says the Kaf HaChaim, our Gemara. Because we say the chayos go back and forth like the flickering spark in an oven. They initially back away to show that they're not worthy of Hashem, and they approach forward to say that we can try to approach as best as we can. So by us taking steps back and then forward, says the Kaf HaChaim, we're mimicking these chayos, and we're trying to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a sense of trepidation, but then a sense of confidence and a sense of seriousness as well. So we see this Gemara, which seemingly is a big agadata, you could even find a little bit of halacha l'maisa in here as well. Says the Gemara further, my kamari habazak. What does it mean, kamari habazak? Amar Rav Yosi bar Chanina, k'or hayotzim bin hacharosim. It's like the fire that comes out when a person is nailing, binging pots and creating some type of spark. So that's what comes out, the mari habazak. Fine. Ba'arei v'hinei ruach sa'ara ba'min ha'tzafon. And I see, and there's a wind coming from the north. Anon gadol, a big cloud. Ve'ish mazakachas, a big fire. V'noga lo saviv, it's surrounding him. U'mitocha ken hachashma, mitocha ish. Okay, it's a description of what's going on in Shemayim. But either way, we said there's a stormy wind coming from the north. So heichan azal. So why did this wind need to come from the north? What's in the north? Some of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shehalach lichvosh es kol ha'olam kulo, tachas Nebuchadnezzar ha'rasha. The wind was coming from Nebuchadnezzar ha'rasha, who was trying to take over the whole world. The kol kach lama, why was he there? Or why did Hashem allow Nebuchadnezzar ha'rasha to attempt to conquer the world, and especially the Jewish people? Shelo yomru umas ha'olam, biyad umas shvala masar gadosh baruch hu hasbanav. That people shouldn't think, you know what, Hashem was so weak, look who he handed over the Jews to a weak nation. So Hashem will often put us in the hands of the most powerful nation in the world. As we know, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, in every generation, the Germans, whoever is the most powerful nation, Hashem will often, unfortunately, lo aleinu, put us in those hands as a way of showing the world that when Hashem does something, He's not going to hand us to any lowly nation. It'll have to be someone of power. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Migarim li she'eya shamash lo v'psilim. And by the way, God says, what do you think causes me to put the Jews in the hands of these goyim who worship idols? It's nothing you did that's so good. It's avonosei and shel Yisrael him garmuli. It's the fact that the Jews unfortunately have sinned. It's caused me, it's forced my hand, kavayachol, to force me to allow them to be subjugated by whatever the most powerful nation at the time. Continuing in the description of the chayos, ve'ira chayos v'ni ofen echad be'eretz itzel chayos. We know it says ve'ofanim v'chayos hakodesh. We say this in davening. There are different types of angels. So there's ofanim, which is a lower type of angel, and there's chayos. So once you saw there was chayos, and there was an ofen that was standing on the ground next to the chayos. So Amar Belazar, malach echad shu omid ba'aretz. There was a certain malach who was called an ofen, who was standing on the ground. Roshu magia itzel chayos. He was so tall that his head was already reaching up to the chayos in Shamayim. Masisa Tana, in a braisa that says, Sandalfon Shemo, the name of this ofan, his name was Sandalfon. And he was so tall that it would take 500 years to reach his height. He stood behind the chariot, the kosher ksarim lakono, and he would tie crowns for Hashem. Any, what do you mean? You're telling me this Ofan was able to tie crowns and then just sort of hand them kavayachol to God himself? Faksiv, baruch kvod Hashem mimkomo. Blessed is God in his place. Michlal de Makomo Likad Yadale, it's his place, it's secret. No one knows where God's place is, not even the Chayos, not even the Ofanim. So how can you tell me there's a certain Chaya, a certain Ofan, angel, who's tying crowns and handing them to God? But God's in his own place and no one knows where that is, not even the angels. The Gemara answers, Di Amar Sham Aska V'Azil V'Yasabarishe. No, and the Bach even explains here further that this Ofan would tie crowns, and then he would say a certain name, Shem Mefurash of Hashem, and automatically the crown would sort of float on its own to God without this ofan knowing exactly where God is. So Amar Rava, Kol Shara Yecheskel, Ra Yeshaya. So Yecheskel and Yeshaya were both Nevi'im, and they both saw the same prophecies. However, Lama Yecheskel Doma, who was Yecheskel compared to? Leben Kvar Shara Es HaMelech, like a villager who saw the king. Meaning a villager doesn't often get to see the king, so when he does, he gets super excited about it. He's like a city man who sees the king, meaning he's always in the king's presence, so it didn't faze him as much. He was much more in contact with God on a close level than Yecheskel was. Amrish Lakish, my dichsiv Ashir Lashem Kigoga, that Ashir Lashem, we sing to Hashem, Kigoga, who's exalted over the exalted. What does that mean? Shira lemi shemizgar alageim. We sing to Hashem who is exalted over those who are also exalted. Meaning they're entities that are exalted, but God is exalted over all of those. Damar mar, as we say in Ebraisa, melech shebechayos ari. Who is the king of the jungle? Who is the king of all the wild animals? The lion. Melech shebebehemos, shor. Who is the king of all the domesticated animals? The ox. Melech Sheba Ophos, Nesher, who is the king of all the birds? The eagle. The Adam is Galay, and we know a person, a human, is king over all of them. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mizgal Kulon, Hashem is Mizgal on all of those that are exalted themselves. V'Yalkolom Kulo, and Hashem is exalted over the entire world. Now once we mention the Chayos in the Shemayim, so we have a very interesting description here about what's going on in Shemayim. Kasev Echad Omer, V'Dimus Pineihem, Pnei Adam, Pnei Aryeh, Al Hayamin L'Arbasan, Pnei Shorom Yasmol, L'Arbasan. There are four faces on God's Kisei HaKavod, on His chariot. And a couple on the right side, almost like when you think of the good angel and a bad angel, we have on the right side, which is good, the Pnei Adam, Pnei Aryeh, a lion and a person. But then on the other side, you have an ox and an eagle. Okay, however, there's a stira. Because in another pasuk it says, "Uksiv ve'arba panim le'echad pnei echad pnei hakruv." So on the one hand you have a kruv, pnei hasheni pnei adam, shlishi pnei aryeh, revi pnei nesher. So it subbed out Yishor lo kachashiv. It replaced Shor ox with kruv. So what is it? What's the fourth face? So Amrish Lakish Yecheskel bikish el rachamim v'hafcho lekruv. Yes, initially the four faces included an ox. Yecheskel davin that the ox's face should be removed and replaced with a kruv. Amar l'fanav, Yecheskel said, Ribono shel olam, kategor yaseh sanegor, how could I have defendant become the prosecutor. In other words, Ashur reminds Hashem of the Egel. The Egel HaZahav, one of the Jewish people's worst sins in history. So why should we have Ashur, the face of Ashur, that would remind you of our sins so close to you? See, Davin, that the face of Ashur should be replaced with the face of a Kruv. My Kruv, what's a Kruv? Amar Rav Avahu, Kiravya, like a little child. Shekem Babavel, Korali Yenuka Ravya. In Babel, they actually refer to a child as a Ravya. Amalei Rav Papala Abaye, Elamiata. Really? What about the following? Is a Kruv really a child? Dechsev Pnei Echa Pnei Kruv, Pnei Sheni Pnei Adam, Shlishi Pnei Aryeh, Revi Pnei Nesher. The four faces are Kruv, person, lion, eagle. So Hayu Pnei Kruv, Hayu Pnei Adam. If Kruv's a person, but Adam's a person also, you can't have two of the four faces that are both the same thing. So the Gemara answers, Ape Ravrevi Va'ape Zutri. Yeah, one is the child's face, and one is an adult's face. And those are two of the four faces that exist in Shemayim. Kasav Echad Omer, Shish Kanafayim Le'echad. One pasuk says that each Malach has six wings. Now we know two of them are to cover the Malach's face, two of them are to fly, and two of them are to cover the Malach's legs. Each one only has four wings. So, do angels have six wings or four wings? So, lo kasha, kam bizman shemesh mesh kayim, kam bizman shem bisa midash kayim. It depends. When the bisa midash was around, angels had six wings. Once it was destroyed, they only have four wings. Kiviyachol, says the Gemara, shenis ma'atu kanfei achayos. It's almost like Kaviyachol, when the Beis Medish was destroyed, all aspects of God and in the Shemayim and any heavenly creature was diminished as well, and therefore they went down to four wings. So says the Gemara, Haiminayu imut. We said there were, according to, if you have saved, they have six wings, you have two covering the Malach's face, two flying, and that allow them to sing Shira, and two covering the legs. So which two were removed when the Beis Medish was destroyed? So Amrav Chanan El Amarav, Osan Sha'omros Shira Bahen. It was the two that they used to fly and sing Shira with. Because Kasav Echad, Ubishtayim Yo'ofef, Vikaraze El Zev Yamar. The two that they fly with, they sing Shira with. Uksiv, His If Einecha Bo Ve'einenu. And the Gemara is saying, His If, which sounds like Yo'ofef, are Einenu. Those that fly and allow the mouth to sing Shira, those were taken away. Rabbanan Amri, no, Osan Shemachasos Behen Raglayim. No, the two that were taken away were the ones that cover the Malach's legs. Shenemar V'Raglayim Regel Yeshara, because what Yecheskel saw was only a singular leg. V'Lavdi Imut, if these weren't taken away, meaning if it wasn't the wings that were covering the legs, then Minahava Yada, then how would Yecheskel have actually seen the legs of the Malach? It must be the wings that normally cover the legs were taken away, and that's how Yecheskel was able to see the regular Yeshara. Says the Gemara, really? Dilma iglai v'chazile. Maybe the Malach lifted up the wings to expose its legs to Yecheskel. And I'll prove to you that's something that the Malach might do, because dilote mahach, if you don't say that, v'dimus p'neim p'nei adam, we say that the face of the Malach looked like a person. Yecheskel saw that. So we know it had two wings, though, that covered its face. So how did Yecheskel see the face of the Malach? It must be achanami di'imoyet. What do you mean? You're going to tell me that those wings that are on the face were also taken away? No. How did Yecheskel see the Malach's face if it has wings covering the face? The answer is, eladi gloi v'chazyalei. It had the wings that covered them, but for a split second, the Malach removed those wings to uncover its face. And therefore, Hachanami Digloi V'Chazulei. So perhaps the fact that Yecheskel was able to see the regular Yeshara of the Malachim is not a proof that the two wings that usually it uses to cover its legs were taken away. Because maybe they still kept those wings, but they just briefly exposed and uncovered the legs to show Yecheskel, just like they did when it came to the Malach's face. Gemara said, you can't compare the Malachim exposing their face for a second with them exposing or suggesting that they expose their legs for a second. Bishlama ape, when it comes to their face, orach ara legluya kame rabe. We know they're right in front of Hashem. So it's not a big deal for a servant to expose his face briefly in front of Hashem, and therefore it makes sense that they would do that for Yechezkel as well. However, kare, for the legs, not tznius, lav orach aro legluye kame rabe, and therefore it can't be that the malachim would have actually uncovered and exposed their legs just to show Yechezkel. So it must be that the reason why Yechezkel was able to see their legs was because after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the two wings that normally covered the legs were taken away from them. Okay, and finally, and then we'll conclude for today, it says that there are a thousand thousands of malachim that serve Hashem, and there are myriad and myriad, 10,000 times 10,000 that also serve Him. So it sounds like that we have a number which tells us how many malachim there are. Is there any amount to His legions? Essentially, we can't count the amount of servants, angels that God has. So do we know a number, or do we not know a number? Says the Gemara, Lokasha, Kam Bizman Shebeis Mirish Kayim. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, there was no number. Kam Bizman Shebeis Mirish Kayim. But now that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, Kibiyachol Shedis Mata Pamalia Shamala, it's almost like the heavenly force and intensity has been decreased, and now there's a lesser number of servants. Tanya Rabbi Omer, Shemabi Yossi Ben Dosai. A different answer. Elef Alfin Yishum Shena, Mispar Godud. In Mispar, meaning there's thousands that serve Him in each legion, but we don't have a capacity to understand the amount of legions. So when we declare a number, that's the number of angels in each legion, but there's an infinite amount of legions that God has serving Him. We have a certain number of angels that serve Hashem specifically in the Nahar Dinor. Shenemar, because as the Pasuk says in Daniel, Nahar Dinor, Nagad Venafak, Min Kadmoni, Aleph Alpha, Yishum Shenav, Rabbi Roman Kadmon Yohon. This Pasuk, when it refers to the number, is specifically referring to something called the Nahar Dinor, and these angels that we count their number are serving Him in the Nahar Dinor. Meheicha Nafak, and now where are these angels that serve Him through the Nahar Dinor? Where do they come from? Mizei Osan Shel Chayos, from the sweat of the Chayos, of the celestial angels. Ulehechan Shafach, these angels that run through the Nahar Dinor, where do they spill over to? Amar Zotcha Bar Tovia Amar Rav, Al Rosh Rishayim B'Gehenim, they'll spill over onto the head of the wicked in Gehenim. Shenamar, Hine Sa'aras Hashem Chema Yatza Sa'ar Mischolel Al Rosh Rishayim Yachol. So you see that something very bad, these angels will spill over onto the heads of the Rishayim in Gehenim. Ravacha bar Yaakov Amar, Al Asher Kumtu. That these angels will spill over, that Nahar Dinor will spill over onto those that were not created. Which means that they were supposed to be created, and then they were sort of held back. What does that mean? Shenem Asher Kumtu, Velo Eist Nahar Yotzek Yesodam. So you see, there was something that was supposed to be created, but it was held back. What did that mean? Tanya Amar Rav Shimon HaChassid, Eila Tesha Meos V'Shivim Ba'arba Doros, these are the 974 generations, Shekumtu Lihibaros, that Hashem withheld from creating initially, Kodim Shnivra HaOlam, meaning there were, Rashi points out, they were supposed to be created, but they were held back, V'lo Nivru, and Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Shaslan B'chol Dor V'Dor, Hashem scattered them and placed a couple of them in each and every generation. And in each generation, the brazen ones are these that were sort of not supposed to be created and were scattered into every generation. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Asher Kumtu Lebracha. He concludes on a good note. He says, no. These angels that are going for the Nahar Dinor, they spill over for good. Hu Dechsev. Eilu Talmidei Chachamim, Shemekamtin Atzman, Es Atzman, Mishina, Al Divrei Torah B'Olam Hazeh. These are Talmidei Chachamim who hold themselves back from sleep in this world, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megala Lahem Sod L'Olam Haba. As a reward for doing so, Hashem reveals to them secrets in the next world, Shenemar Nahar Yotzik Yisodam. This Nahar Dinor and these angels providing this type of wisdom, they come on these Talmid Chachamim lasid lavo in, as a merit, as a reward for the fact Talmid Chachamim lose sleep in this world. As we know, this world's not easy, and sometimes in order to prepare, to do the daf, to learn, we don't always have time during the day. We have to often hold back a little bit of our sleep, and in that merit, Hashem will be mashpia upon us, will influence on us, will give bracha to us, in this case, through these angels that come from the Nahar Dinor. We'll stop there.